By 2027, TSMC's AI-related revenue is forecast to surge 218% to over $86 billion. Yet Morgan Stanley reports that global demand for the advanced packaging needed for those chips will still outstrip supply. For Western companies building their AI infrastructure, this raises a critical question. As the industry spends billions to catch up, where are the real opportunities? And where do the risks still lie? That's our focus this week on Troy Technical Intelligence. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are laser-focused on the heart of the AI revolution, the semiconductor supply chain. The story isn't just about faster chips anymore. It's about the massive, frantic build-out of a niche technology called advanced packaging. We're seeing billions in new investment from industry giants like TSMC and ASC Technology. We're seeing next-generation technologies like glass substrates and hybrid bonding emerge. And we're seeing a geopolitical shift, with new R&D and production hubs rising in the US, Malaysia, and Singapore. The entire ecosystem is in flux, and the bottlenecks are starting to shift.
That's right, Susie. Today, we'll unpack what this means on the ground.
Troy, let's start with the big picture. For over a year, getting high-end AI chips from NVIDIA has been a nightmare due to a bottleneck in something called CoWoS packaging. But now, we're seeing a flood of investment. What is happening?
The entire back end of the semiconductor industry is retooling at an incredible pace. TSMC, the main provider of CoWoS packaging, is aggressively expanding capacity. Their goal is to narrow the supply-demand gap from 20% down to just 10% by the end of 2026. We're also seeing outsourced assembly and test vendors, or OSATs, stepping up. ASC Technology, the world's largest OSAT, just raised its 2026 capital expenditure by 21% to $8.5 billion, launching 15 new expansion projects in Taiwan and Malaysia.
And the market is noticing. I saw a report that lead times for NVIDIA's new B300 servers have already dropped from over 6 months to just 8 to 16 weeks.
Exactly. The immediate constraint is easing. This is a direct result of TSMC projected to nearly quadruple its CoWoS capacity from 35,000 wafers per month at the end of 2024 to over 120,000 by the end of 2026. This isn't just about GPUs anymore either. Morgan Stanley's latest forecast, which projects demand hitting 2.69 million units by 2027, cites high-performance CPUs and custom ASICs as new growth drivers.
So for a US or European automaker or industrial robotics company that needs these chips, what's the takeaway?
For US and European manufacturers, this means the severe scarcity of the past 18 months is subsiding. Projects that were stalled due to hardware unavailability can be reevaluated. However, the diversification of demand to CPUs and ASICs means you're now competing with a wider range of buyers.
And what about trading companies and distributors who source these components?
This is a critical window. With lead time shortening, the opportunity is to secure allocations now before the next wave of demand fully materializes. Market timing is everything. Distributors need to educate their clients that the bottleneck is shifting, not disappearing, and that sourcing strategies should now include the broader ecosystem of OSATs like ASC and Amkor, not just TSMC.
So what's the actionable insight for an executive this week?
Immediately, task your procurement and strategy teams to reassess AI hardware roadmaps. If you put plans on hold, re-engage with your suppliers. The window to secure capacity for 2027 deployments is opening right now.
Okay, so the capacity is expanding, but the technology itself isn't standing still. We're hearing about a whole new alphabet soup of terms. HBM4E, hybrid bonding, CoPoS. Troy, break this down for us.
This is where the real long-term innovation is happening. Since transistor scaling is slowing, performance gains are now coming from packaging. Applied Materials just announced a new suite of manufacturing tools specifically for this. They have new chemical mechanical planarization systems to create ultra-flat surfaces and deposition systems to form the connections in 3D stacked chips.
So this is about stacking memory and logic closer together?
Precisely. And the bonding technology is key. Samsung just published research validating that its hybrid copper bonding offers far better thermal management for next-generation HBM4E memory compared to traditional methods. It allows memory stacks to be over 15% thinner and reduces hotspot temperatures.
At the same time, SK Hynix is already shipping HBM4E samples using its own advanced MR MUF packaging, achieving a 17% improvement in thermal resistance and a 20% jump in power efficiency.
And I saw TSMC is already working on the successor to CoWoS, called CoPoS. What's the difference?
CoPoS stands for Chip on Panel on Substrate. Instead of a round silicon wafer, it uses a large rectangular glass panel. This is a game changer. It's projected to cut costs by 30% and boost wafer utilization to over 90% post-2028, solving a major waste problem. The glass substrates, co-developed with Japan's Ibiden, also have superior thermal and electrical properties.
How does this innovation in the back end affect a European machine tool manufacturer or a US-based medtech company?
It means the AI components going into their next generation products will be more powerful, more compact, and more energy efficient. This enables sophisticated on-device AI in environments where space and power are constrained. It also signals that the current generation of AI hardware will face a much shorter obsolescence cycle.
What should trading companies know about this?
They need to get smart on this new landscape. Their value will come from understanding the performance trade-offs between, say, a chip using hybrid bonding versus one with TCB. They also need to track new upstream suppliers. Companies like Ibiden in Japan, which makes glass substrates, are now as critical to the supply chain as the chipmakers themselves.
Actionable insight?
Your engineering and R&D teams must be briefed on these packaging roadmaps. Product designs for 2027 and beyond should be architected to take advantage of the form factor, power, and thermal benefits of these technologies. It's a fundamental design consideration, not just a component swap.
All this technology is fantastic, but much of it is concentrated in Taiwan. Geopolitically, that's a huge risk. Are we seeing any moves to diversify the supply chain?
Absolutely. This is the third major trend, a strategic geographic diversification of the back end. We're seeing significant national investments to build regional hubs. Malaysia just launched a $40 million initiative with the explicit goal of capturing 7% of the global advanced packaging market, starting with the development of a homegrown HBM4 test chip.
And Singapore is also making moves, right?
Correct. In Singapore, a new public-private partnership between a company called Atlant3D, the A-Star Research Institute, and Nanamic has established an AI-driven materials discovery hub. They're using a proprietary technology called direct atomic layer processing to accelerate the development of new materials needed for advanced packaging, essentially shortening the R&D cycle.
But the biggest news for our audience is probably happening in the United States.
Without a doubt, TSMC and Amkor Technology, a leading U.S.-based OSAT, just signed a 10-year strategic partnership. The goal is to build out advanced packaging capacity, including CoWoS, right here in the U.S., in conjunction with TSMC's new fabs in Arizona. This is a direct move to create a more resilient, domestic end-to-end chip manufacturing ecosystem.
What does a secure, U.S.-based packaging supply chain mean for American manufacturers?
It's a massive strategic advantage. It reduces exposure to geopolitical risks, potential tariffs, and trans-Pacific shipping delays. For defense, aerospace, and critical infrastructure sectors, having a domestic source for this technology is non-negotiable. For European manufacturers, the rise of Malaysia as a credible, high-volume alternative to Taiwan offers a new, stable node in their supply chain.
And for trading and distribution?
It opens up entirely new business lines. U.S. distributors now have a domestic advanced packaging champion in Amkor to partner with. For those with a global footprint, it's time to build relationships and establish a presence in Malaysia's growing semiconductor ecosystem. These are the new centers of gravity in the back-end supply chain.
What should executives be doing about this now?
They need to actively remap their supply chain risk and opportunity models. The assumption that all cutting-edge packaging happens in one place is now outdated. U.S. executives should be asking their teams for a clear strategy on how to leverage the emerging Arizona ecosystem. European executives should be initiating exploratory talks with partners in Malaysia.
Trane, an incredible amount of change in a critical sector. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the great AI chip bottleneck is easing, but the game has changed. The acute shortage of 2025 is resolving due to massive capacity expansion. This creates a strategic window for companies to act on delayed AI hardware procurement. Don't wait for the next shortage.
Second,
packaging is now the product. The innovation frontier has moved from the transistor to the package. Technologies like hybrid bonding, glass substrates, and MRUMF are the new drivers of performance. Western companies must track these developments, not as a footnote, but as a core competitive factor that will define their future products.
And the final takeaway?
The supply chain is actively de-risking and decentralizing. The build-out in the US, Malaysia, and Singapore is real and strategic. This is not a theoretical shift, it's a present-day opportunity. Executives must look beyond Taiwan and build relationships in these new hubs to create a more resilient and competitive global manufacturing footprint.
Troy, thank you for translating these complex shifts into clear business intelligence. The speed of change is just breathtaking.
It's a pivotal moment for the industry. A pleasure to be here.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. To make sure you never miss an update on the technology that is shaping your strategy, be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another essential briefing.